continue our service as we go to the Word of God, have the opportunity to hear God's Word proclaimed, and I would encourage each one of you to turn to your Bibles. You'll have to go really far, all the way to page 8. As we read together, this is part of our narrative lectionary that we are reading through the Bible. Started last week in Genesis with Noah and the story, and now continue on with Abram. So again, this is on page 8, chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. We'll be reading the first 9 verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife, Sarai, and his brother's son, Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Morah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai to the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, again we come to you with the realization that coming and having this opportunity to worship you is truly a privilege. We think of those, Lord, who would so desire to be in a house of worship today. All those affected by the hurricane, loss of life. We pray continuously, Lord, for those families, for the first responders. Help us as we proclaim now your word, that the message that comes through my heart would truly be one that challenges all of us, comforts us to realize the gifts that we've been given to live in this kingdom of yours. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So when we think of Abram and this story, we think about faith. What does it mean to embrace faith in our life, to accept the realization that God is in our heart, guides our steps? As a child, right, sometimes God seems like a pretty big concept to grasp. And there's a wonderful story that illustrates this well. A little boy was playing outdoors, and he was using his mother's broom as a horse, and he was having a wonderful time doing this, of course, until it got dark, and so he left the broom on the back porch. His mother was cleaning up the kitchen when she realized that, guess what? Her broom was missing. So she asked the little boy about the broom, and he told her where it was, out on the back porch. So, of course, she said, "Well, would you please go and get the broom?" The little boy informed his mom that he was afraid of the dark and he didn't want to go outside to get the broom. His mother smiled and said, "The Lord is outside too, so don't be afraid." The little boy opened the back door just a little bit and he said, "Hey, Lord, if you are out there, could you hand me the broom?" All of us live in that sense of fear, of anxiety, from the youngest to the oldest, not knowing what's going to happen, 10 years from now? Tomorrow, for that sake, right? When you get a phone call, a text, something happens in your life, and it throws you off course. Abram is an example to us of what it means when things happen in our lives and we don't know what's going to happen. The first 12 chapters of Genesis, right, are filled with all sorts of kind of bizarre things happening. God realizing in the previous chapter that he's created these people and they're all speaking the same language and they're all alike, and he really wants to kind of spice things up. And so he introduces new languages and new people, and things start to get a little chaotic. And so God knows that there needs to be a strong leader, someone who is embracing one God. And so he taps Abram and says, you need to go, leave this place, and promises Abram a great nation, great people. But what does the great part of this text tell us? That he can be a blessing to others. And so I want us to understand that this text, this story, is telling us that there's a great direct connection between having faith and being a blessing. We don't live this life just for ourselves. Abram didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew that God was calling him. He was living in a time that was a difficult one for him. And here's this opportunity to go and to make a difference for God. Barbara Brown Taylor, you know, is one of my favorite authors. And she talks about faith with this quote and this concept that new life starts in the dark. Think about it, whether it is a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb, it starts in the dark. We, in those seasons in which we're struggling to understand what's next, whether it's for our kindergartner or college student, for our aging parents, for our own selves, we wonder. And faith, it comes to us and it grows in us when we want to put the effort and the work into that. It doesn't just happen, friends, that our faith grows and expands. It takes effort on our part to listen when God speaks to us. God has made this promise to us, as we are witnessed today in the baptism of William. This covenant, inviting us to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God commanded Abram, and Abram obeyed. God's also commanding us. What will we do on this spectrum of faith? Harry Emerson Fosdick might not be a name that rolls off of your tongue or that you know much about him. He was born in 1878 and died in 1969. He was a great theologian, and he pastored the Riverside Church in New York City. He was kind of cutting edge in an age of fundamentalism, and he wanted to introduce to people the extraordinary love of God and the ways in which we can embrace God and God's grace. And so he writes about this spectrum of faith. He says, there are really three sorts of folks when it comes to faith. So listen for where you think you fall in this spectrum. He says, there are utter disbelievers. They will have none of this religion. It is to them all superstition. And God is as much a myth as the devils of an African witch doctor. But there are not many of them. Now, this was written in the 1930s. Then there are the great believers who have grown up into a luminous and convincing life with God, who, like Saint Teresa, said that in her heart she had an experience so beautiful that one drop of it falling on hell would turn it into paradise. But there are not many of those people. He says, between these two groups are the mass of us. They are not utter disbelievers, and they are not glorious believers. Their faith is hesitant, uncertain, unsatisfying, sporadic. So they say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't know where you might fall on that spectrum today, but what I so embrace is that God is with us in whatever place we fall, right? Whether we are like Saint Teresa and we live each day with just faith oozing out of us, or we fall on that other end of the spectrum where we struggle. Why would faith even be important? Why does Jesus matter? Is it just about weddings and funerals and baptisms? About having a place that we can say, well, I go to that church on Kimball Avenue? Or is it really about a living relationship with Christ and that we are open to exploring even in our skepticism or doubts or in those dark places? Walter Brueggemann, in his commentary on Genesis, says, faith is a certitude that is based not on human reason, but on a primal awareness that God is God. Abraham knew that this same God who gives the promise is the one who makes it believable through the new awareness that God really is God. I don't know about you, but what has helped me in this journey of faith is meeting other pilgrims on this journey who have learned about God, about who Jesus is for them. One of the great blessings of my sabbatical was meeting two pastors in Scotland. Arthur Christie and Peter Thielen. Arthur's story particularly touched me in that he was living a life as a businessman in Edinburgh, going to work every day. He was married with two children. Things seemed to be going well. They belonged to a church. He was aware of God's love for him. And then one day, he found out that his wife no longer loved him, but instead loved his best friend. And so she left him with two young children to raise. And so Arthur realized in that dark, dark season of his life, how vital it was to cling to his faith to bring him through that dark time. And God continued to knock on his heart and to say to him, perhaps you need to share your faith. God's calling you. And so at 40, he enrolled in seminary, divinity school, they call it, in Scotland. His life changed. He married a woman that he had met whose name happened to be Grace. And together they raised these children, and he went on to pastor in the Presbyterian Church of Scotland for 25 years, having just retired. He's a petite man in stature, but his heart and his faith taught me so much in that time that I could listen to him and his wisdom about the church and people. He says, Trisha, it's not easy to work with people. Can I get an amen? We're all broken. We're all fragile. And God meets us there. Just as God met Abram and took him on that road ahead of him, preparing a life of faith for us to learn by. So I ask you these questions today. As you think about, what does your baptism mean to you? What does it mean to be a part of the kingdom of God? Henry Nouwen has kind of a checklist for us to think about as an author. He wrote, think about these questions. Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I offer words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and my resentment towards others, towards God? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions of life. Let's pray together. God, every day, you tap on our heart, our mind, our soul, reminding us that you've called each and every one of us to live this life of faith, and that new life, it's so possible even in the darkest of times, that you came out of that tomb to offer us not just any old life, but abundant life. God, help us to embrace that with all of who we are. We thank you for this opportunity to grow in our faith. Help us to be obedient to your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.